Roslyn McGrath is my guest this week from Marquette's. She is about 60, 70 miles from where I'm broadcasting. She's been here a good part of her life, and she's been on my show a couple of times. We've had a lot of fun. We've channeled just about everything there is to channel. And she does a lot of... How you doing, Roslyn? How you doing?
I'm good. And thank you for having me on today.
You're more than welcome. So she sent me an email because she's offering some special things for women, and probably just about anybody, really, but for women. And she works with the divine feminine. And so part of what she's doing here is to guide us in that direction. And she's written books, and she's just done a lot. How are things in Marquette going?
Pretty well for me. You know, obviously we're all dealing with the larger social and pandemic situation, as you and I touched on briefly before this. And I've had some challenges in our little cockapoo passed recently.
Oh.
And somewhat suddenly. So it's been a big thing. It still, you know, is a big thing in our house. But we're managing, you know, with a appreciation of the time that we had with him. He was a very special being. So
how old was he when he passed?
Just over 13.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good run, mm-hmm. I guess, right? So
he was very healthy till that last year. So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, maybe he chose to serve in another way, perhaps. I mean, who's to know? Who's to say, right? When a loved one, and we're seeing more of this too, more people are passing. You see about this, I'm sure in part due to COVID, but many other factors. But, you know, we lose sight, don't we, Roslyn, of like there's a greater purpose that we're just not fully aware of, is there?
Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, he certainly, I have felt him really reveling in his freedom and being actually more of a vast field than a specific him. He always kind of liked to go out there, and he's like, I'm still with you, Mommy, you know. But it's still a big change for us.
Yeah, it is. It's always tough, isn't it? Boy, that's always a tough thing.
No
matter, even as enlightened as we can be, it seems like it's hard to let go. But that's kind of what it teaches us in so many ways. How long have you been doing what you do as far as like working with the divine feminine energies and also channeling and working with people individually? How long have you been doing all that, Roslyn?
I would say the very beginning is almost 25 years, and 20 years very fully into all of this. And of course, you know, things always develop more over time. So it's always exciting to kind of absorb what's developing and what I'm being guided to learn more about and share more about.
And who would you say is guiding you?
That you always ask such good questions. So, I mean, I would say, right, ultimately everything is Source.
Okay.
And then we have our facet of Source that I feel like we're here to represent and in a sense channel through us, whether, you know, we consider ourselves a channeler as I do at times, of what, you know, seem to be other energies because we're, you know, connected with all of it. But that it kind of like that we're asked to steward a certain aspect of the Creator and do what we can to maximize that potential and expand through that experience of being here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I would say it's that part of me that knows it's part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, and sense that we have a spiritual team in particular. Certainly the Marys are a big guide for me and the Christ consciousness. And I would say Lao Tzu, that understanding of the balance through duality is is part of what guides me in my work.
And I'm guessing, you know, it's everybody's got their own guides, and we have animal spirit guides, and we have angels, archangels, and angels. So there's just many factors of beings that are there, and multi-dimensional beings, and maybe some aliens. Let's throw in some aliens too, and you know, it's a big party. It's a big party going. And then there's the animals, like you said, you know, that your dog is still commit. You can feel the energy around you, and I really feel. You know, the other day I was thinking about. A friend of mine was telling me a story. He saw this deer. It was like a huge deer. He said he's 6'5". This deer was as tall as him. It was a doe. And he lives down in Florida. And it just stared at him. And it wouldn't leave. And he tried to make a noise. And he was getting frightened from this thing. And he turned around for just a moment and it was gone. And he felt it was some kind of spirit. And I said, well, that could be your animal spirit guide. Or just an animal spirit showing up. But I think we all also have animal spirit guides that are there to assist us on our journey because it's all connected. So we certainly send love to, what is your dog's name?
Iggy.
Iggy. Iggy, maybe someday we can channel Iggy. I don't know if that would be too close to your heart. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
He's just a very, very sweet being.
Okay.
And I'll be interested to see if he supports me or how he supports me in connecting with people regarding their animals. Because interestingly, I will be working with someone who went through a trauma of losing a whole number of animals at once in a fire. And I'll be working with her for the first time soon. And I found it very interesting timing, of this. Because.
Something more may be going on.
You just never know what's next.
So how do you feel? Do you see a lot of people, before we get to the main part of what we're going to talk about, do you feel more people afraid of what's going on with COVID and other things around the world? Are people surviving it? Are they thriving? Because you and I, we went back and forth a little bit in the email, and I said, you know, so many good things can come out of this because it's going to cause you to look at your life differently. And I think that's one of the main reasons, as we did that channel for COVID, this pause was meant for us to, not everybody's going to do this, but to look at things. And I've been reading about this and actually talking to people that said they've done that. We've seen some people breaking up because they're getting to really know the person they're with. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. And then also, maybe many are thinking, I don't want to go back to this job anymore because it doesn't serve me. And I'm thinking, that's good. So what have you noticed, Roslyn?
Well, I certainly have heard a lot of responses from people about what they are getting out of that more retreat-like time. Although, you know, we're not as retreat-like as we were in the spring, at least, you know, where I am. And certainly, you know, I'm also aware that there are people in situations and with family members and relatives in situations where it hits them much closer to home and it may not be a pause. It may be that they are really in the midst of dealing with, you know, potential health hazard because of work. You know, different people are affected in different ways. So I have not been connected with a whole lot of people who are going through that, but I'm certainly aware of that, you know, by keeping some awareness of what's going on in the world. And so, you know, it can be more challenging to mine your nuggets while you're going through a trauma or take, you know, more
Did you say mine your nuggets?
I did. I did say that. Not like chicken McNuggets, but with, you know, the gems, like what is the value in the experience.
Okay, good.
So I'm appreciative of that. I know that for me, it's like it's really intensified my feeling compelled to move forward with my healing work and to share that with more people, that this is so, so needed, that if ever it was a time, it's now. And so that keeps me rather busy.
Do you feel like we're still on course? We've channeled planet Earth, moving towards this ascension and this awakening. This is all part of it, right?
Yeah. And it's when things seem at their worst that you're almost at that tipping point.
Yes. Always darkest before the dawn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's easy to forget that when you're in it. And I'm sure I have many times, you know.
Right, me too.
And I've, you know, often been fortunate enough to have a friend remind me in some way. So we never know, in general, you know, we typically don't know when that tipping point is going to be. You know, you could be one tiny speck away, and that's why I think it's so important that we keep that faith and that trust and support one another in that.
And like you and Joy always say, hold that space, right?
That's one
of the best things we can do when we think, some people out there probably feel helpless. And I was thinking about this the other day, talking about this, but since I got you about it, I thought you would be good to represent the understanding of that. Is what is holding the space, if you don't mind?
Another good question is, you know, when you are holding a vision and intention that someone else, you know, has identified, that that's what they want, but they're not experiencing it now or feeling it now, that you're supporting them by holding your sense of that as a real thing and knowing that that is possible. Just to give a reverse example, like, you know, teachers, and I used to teach art in the schools, are very familiar with this example and have seen it borne out 1,000 times. If you are holding a negative assumption about a particular child, when they walk in that classroom, the child is likely to start playing it out.
Wow. That's a good example.
Yeah. And so, of course, the reverse is true, too. The people tend to come up or improve, you know, when they're really received with a trust and a holding of a space of, you really, yes, you know, okay, you may be going through some challenges, but I know that you can handle it. I know that you have the resources to figure this out instead of going, you know, down the rabbit hole with the person if they're in that mode, you know, that you can hold that larger perspective that helps them stabilize and come back to their positive potential.
So it's really like your energy, it's not even, because we're beings of thought and energy, so it's really the energy you're putting out is really kind of helping create or hold on to that.
It's an influence. And we are providing influences, consciously or not,
and we're
more helpfully or not,
we're
all
also,
the time.
Would you say, Rosalind, also we're co-creating right in those moments, in all those moments?
Definitely.
So we have to be careful what we say and think, one would think.
It's thankfully, there's some grace, because I haven't met any perfect people yet.
No, but, you know, for me,
but it definitely is a power to pay attention to.
Absolutely. And I mean, and people can go, I'm not trying to tell people what direction to go, but from what I see, and in my world, the way I live best and coexist with things in a very peaceful way is when I'm in that state of mind and not judging and having love. To me, it's really about love with everything. That's the holding this space, if you want to say, well, I'm supporting this. But really, it's another way of saying putting love towards everything or everyone, is, to me, the simplest way to hold a space. Just have love in your heart and put it supportingly towards everybody, even people, especially people you don't like. Maybe you see somebody in the news, I hate that person. It's like, well, that doesn't do any good for if we're going to move forward as a into a different state of consciousness. And I don't know if we're going to do it collectively or individually, but the best thing we can do if we're shuttered in our home and we're going, what do I do now? You can hold that space. That in alone, don't you think that's very powerful as well, Rosalyn?
It's extremely powerful. And I just want to add in here, too, that, you know, if you can't get to love in the moment, if you get up to neutral, you're way ahead of what you were holding before, if that was real negative about someone or something. If you even can go to, well, maybe, maybe da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then, another way into it, which is used in various traditions and exercises and so on, is if you start to focus by feeling the love you have in the heart for the people you already know you love. Mm-hmm. And from there, you spend time feeling that, and then you extend it to people that you're more neutral about. And when you're fully in that, then it can be a natural step to include people or situations that you felt quite negatively about. So the sincerity, the genuineness of it, that's what really guides the energy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, in our desire to do good, we may try to jump steps. And it's important that this be authentic. Or otherwise, what you're putting out is actually a jumble.
That's very good. Very good point. Has to be authentic. So you are going to introduce some classes for women because you work with the divine feminine. That's part of if you want to call it part of what you came to do, I guess is a way to define that. And you can correct that if I didn't phrase that accurately. But so do you want to talk about some of those things that you're offering?
Sure. So it's challenging for me a bit I can't fully, say no men in all things that I work with.
Let's just face it, Rosalyn. All men are bad. Go ahead.
that at times I have really felt compelled to speak up for the male energy on the planet and what the positive side of that is, because I will hear, many men who are drawn to the types of work that I do speak negatively of their gender. And, in the oneness, right, we're all one and there is no gender. Mm-hmm. But my sense is that gender is being used positively in certain ways on this planet, and that the women are the starting point of the shift and the men upholding that. And it's a big generalization, and there's more than that. And, we all have our masculine and feminine aspect, and that's not just like our gender concepts, but the kind of magnetizing energy and action energy. And so the balance of that is key for everybody. But I do feel that I have a greater understanding of women in our culture from my own experience, and that far more women are drawn to work with me, and so that I can focus in that way. And then I would say there are men who have like a broader spectrum of how they may respond to things. And so I have found it a wonderful gift to work with some of these men. So in my upcoming webinar, Amplify Your Energy Intelligence, I've not restricted that men cannot join that experience, but that the focus is on the women. And then I am going to be beginning a 90-day program that starts next year on living your true spirit, and that will be for women only. So I'm just going to connect the dots because I'm a thorough person. And right. So I'm excited, you know, about amplifying your energy intelligence, because we have such a powerful guidance system within us, and our energy centers, if for anyone who's not familiar with that, you know, everything that exists has an energy, it has a vibration. Nothing would exist without that. And in, you know, within our individual system, we have energy centers, also referred to as chakras, which is loosely translated from India as spinning wheels, and just meaning there's a vortex movement of energy more so in particular places along the body than other parts. Okay, so it's like you have a bigger sending and receiving station in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very much alive and part of us, and it knows us very well and understands what we need. So every part of your life relates to at least one of those energy centers. And that's why I find it such a powerful framework for the self-understanding that we need to actualize more of our potential.
Cool. And so when is this going to take place?
It's going to be Wednesday, December 16th at 7 p.m. And then I will also be offering this Saturday afternoon on January 2nd. I haven't quite pinned down the time yet. It'll probably be 2 p.m. East, and these are Eastern times. And so, you know, that way people who can't, you know, make an evening time may be able to.
Are you still there? Did I lose you, Rose?
That was just a call waiting beep.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Yeah.
You said people that can't make it are still able to, and then disappear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't. Okay. People who can't make it to a weekday evening, you know, have a weekend option.
That's pretty cool. Now, this has to be a live thing. This is something, is this like a Zoom thing? Is that how that works?
I will be doing it live on Zoom with registrants. Yeah.
Okay. And so the only way you're going to really be able to see that is live. You're not going to be able to see a pre-recorded version of that at some point, or it has to be at those
Those who are registered will get a video replay.
Okay, awesome.
I highly recommend making it live if at all possible, because I feel you'll have more of an experience and an opportunity to interact. You have questions, those can come up. Certainly, I'm holding a space for everyone who registers, whether they can make it live or not. But also from my experience participating in different webinars, I always find I get more out of it by attending the live if I can.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sometimes, though, it's hard for people to do it, and so I just was asking if that was possible. So you are going to offer this, and then you're going to offer a private, live, weekly, online program? Or is that there's going to be different ones going on weekly at a regular?
So I have an ongoing private group that's online where I share inspirational suggestion for the focus of your breath for a number of counts each weekday morning.
Okay.
And of course, people can see that later as well. I schedule it so that people can, you know, read it at 6 a.m., although you won't usually find me up at 6 a.m. And then I go live within that group every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And those in the group can also watch the replay later of that.
Awesome. So if people want to be a part of this, if they want to sign up, we'll put a link on my website. But what is a good way to go about doing that?
If you go right to my website, which is empoweringlightworks.com, I have a button for the free program right at the top of the homepage.
You know, I don't think I ever updated your, I got a link to you, and then I went and clicked on it a month or two back, and it's like, no, that's your old website. I don't think it brings me to your new one. So I'm writing it down myself. And then when we post this interview. So, you know, I was reading part of what you sent me. The person empowering Lightworks is most designed to help is who?
You know, it is women who are really yearning to live their full spirit in their life.
Hmm.
You know, often we have a place or certain situations where we hold back.
Mm.
And, you know, for whatever that reason may be, or places where, you know, there's a certain fear of how we'll be received or what will happen with a relationship or a situation, if there's a full expression there. And there's more to ourselves to discover to be able to express and embody. So I find, you know, there is spiritual technology that can be crucial in that movement forward. And having worked with so many women over the years, that things don't have to be so piecemeal. I'm really excited to bring things together more comprehensively so people can get the full set, you know, the full set of tools to put things together more clearly for themselves. So, you know, these are people for whom their spiritual path is really important. It's a core place for them. And, you know, I understand that's not how everyone's life is focused.
Right.
That may not be the way that they're called to bring things through. It doesn't mean that they're not... what's the word, you know, have the same beautiful core of light, you know, that we all do. But there are those of us where that spiritual path is just essential. And yet, as much as we may know, we may have learned, you know, there's certain situations that come along where we tend to find our center rocked, that high vibration that we love being in, that it's not consistent the way we would want. You know, a woman who really wants to make that awesome, positive impact in the world, but may not be totally clear about what her gifts are, or maybe is aware of those gifts, but has that, like, lack of clarity about how to plug them in to the world. And, you know, it's not the same as like an individual life coaching, because, you know, that gets very specific. But there's something, you know, we have a soul, we have a higher self, we have our spiritual team, that the more we can open to them, they support the consistency of our vibration in really being that true self, so that it becomes much simpler and easier to go, oh, now things are lining up. Mm. Oh, now I understand. Oh, it's like the cooperative components start to come together, because we are vibrating in a way that I guess I'd describe as more accurate.
Mm-hmm. So if people will get connected to your Empowering Lightworks online community, what are some of the things that you can assist, if you feel that you can assist people with, women with?
It's very much about finding their own voice. And how can I say, being more cons- more true to themselves in all the parts of their lives. And I do feel that this is tends to be more of a challenge for women in particular. Because even with changes in society, there's more that's been, like, come through the generations of past women's experience. And I do see it in men, but women, I mean, I cannot tell you how often I hear self-doubt mm-hmm. as a concern. Mm-hmm. It's just so consistent. And at some point I go, you know, it's not all the individual. Like, there is a context that makes this more likely. And so that authentic empowerment of women, you know, for you to shine your light in the way that your light is, you know, the uniqueness that it has. And that's part of my gift of helping people unwind or unravel what really is not fitting for them and clearing blocks that sometimes they don't even realize they had. And then it's like, wow, my life, you know, I feel so much lighter. My life is making sense to me now. I understand better why these things I thought just sucked actually had a purpose, you know, that type of thing.
You know, and from my perspective, since I'm a man this time around, which I haven't been every time,
yeah,
but I certainly see what you're saying, and I definitely agree with you on that because I see it around me as well. And from a perspective of stepping back a little bit, and we've talked about this before, this really is about a lot of it. I can't say it's for everybody that goes to your online group, but it's raising up and bringing back the divine feminine because, you know, we believe, many of us believe, that it stepped away and allowed masculine energies, and we're not criticizing masculine energies. In balance, everything is great, and that's what we were meant to have, and we've been on a balance for a long time. And so really what you're doing is you're really kind of helping bring back the balance in a way too, don't you think, Rosalyn?
Definitely. I mean, I think balance and that integration of those higher aspects of ourselves, to be able to bring that all the way through to the body, which is asking for it. Everything works better for the body when it can ground that higher energy.
And I also heard recently, and it makes a lot of sense to me, is that we really can't ascend until we're balanced. So all these things that are happening mm-hmm. right now, these horrible things that are going on, are teaching mm-hmm. us to let go. All these energies that are coming in, the divine feminine, the masculine energies, it's all meant to, I see it happen to me on a regular basis, you know. I think I'm this balanced, wonderful soul. What a wonderful guy that TJ is. He's just a chip off the old, and then something happens, I go, well, I got a little work to do. And it gets me, you know, it gets me back into where I become balanced again. It takes me maybe a day sometimes to find that balance. And then I realize what the lesson is. And it's all about that. So I think from my perspective, not saying it's right, but what you're doing in many ways is helping bring in that balance like so many people are doing right now.
Mm-hmm. And I would say a key component that I see in that for women is about letting go of self-judgment, which can be very intense. It can be very habitual. So where, you know, you're maybe so used to it in certain aspects of your life that you don't even realize that you're doing it.
Yeah, and it really kind of comes from programming a lot of it, or maybe carrying over things from another time. You know, I'm sure there's some of that as well, Rosalyn, buried inside of us from another time.
Definitely. You know, I'm always learning from each interaction that I have in doing healing processes with people, reading for them, you know, as a form of healing. And the shifts of, you know, energies that can be from even a prehistoric lifetime or an off-planet lifetime, or, you know, things through generations of your family that you don't have a conscious aware of, but you know, you're carrying DNA that, you know, came through that line, and so it's carrying certain energies. There's a lot to any human being.
Yeah, some people, I've seen it phrased as, our cells have memory, and there's cellular memory that goes back for every generation, and that's what's passed on to us from every, and we don't always incarnate with the same group every time. I didn't incarnate, you know, I'm German. I didn't, you know, my ancestry maybe goes back to Germany, but that's not who I've been. I've been many different roles. But the body I'm in now has, who knows what happened to it. Maybe it was, you know, going back in the Germans' history, the nomadic tribes, maybe the Huns, who knows? Maybe I sacked Rome at one time, one of my ancestors. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's that, those energies where I got a disease from something, from a certain way of thinking. And this is passed down through the cell memory. And so it's part of what has to be done for all of us, I think, is to overcome that cell memory. If we choose to overcome that, this is why people are, in my opinion, born into alcoholism. Families are maybe all, you know, there's several alcoholics. That was in my family, so I'm not here to criticize anybody. But I know it was something that I had to overcome because it was part of cellular memory, the way I see it. And that was something I chose not to be, because there's other things to choose, you know, some wonderful things to choose. But I'm grateful for the chance, you know, to maybe break that cycle.
I mean, the wonderful thing about energy is that energy never lies. It's not possible. And so it carries only truth. We just need to learn how to tune into that truth. And it doesn't have a separation between past, present, or even future, depending, you know, how you're accessing. And so we can clear things up from any timeline. It's part of our birthright to be able to do that.
That's good. That's good to know. What about karma? Can we clear that out too as well?
This is a big karma clearing time.
But I'm asking, what I'm asking is, like, you know, it's a lot of people believe that, well, I shot you in a previous lifetime, so this lifetime you've got to shoot me. And I'm of the belief that no, none of that has to happen anymore. We have elevated our vibrations to, you can simply ask for forgiveness or think it or just let it go. And karma can be, we don't have to keep going down on this cycle, this rotation of, I got to come back down to earth now because I ran that guy over with a bus. And of course, back in the... go ahead.
My understanding, too, is that we have been given that gift of clearing up karma so that it does not have to be an ongoing cycle of retribution in some way. I don't think it's really meant as retribution. It's meant as growth and understanding.
Yes, to
and
teach
so
us.
You can go to the growth and the understanding. And when that is really true, then the trappings to help you get that can be gone, or like approachable, so that the actions you take can be effective now in clearing up the ways it's manifested.
That's cool. Your perspective is always so, I would say, not only unique, but it speaks to me in a really good way that I can grasp what you're, you know, it's different with everybody, I guess, but maybe just your vibration matches somewhat.
if there is such a thing, then it does. And I'm always impressed by how on the your questions are and how it opens up new awareness. You know, sometimes things that I haven't thought about before, or it helps me find a way to communicate more clearly than I might on another day. Because you are holding that space, and that supports me in in being able to express more clearly to people.
If people want to, again, if they want to sign up for it, there's probably several things. Do you want to list different things that you offer as well?
Sure. So if you hop over to my website, empoweringlightworks.com, like I said, the first thing you'll see near the top is a button that allows you to register for the free program. And men are welcome as well. We have a few men in the group, and only men who honor the divine feminine are drawn to this group, is what I find.
Mm-hmm.
To know that if you are male and you feel drawn, you are very welcome to join this group, as well as the webinar coming up, Amplify Your Energy Intelligence. And if you go to the events and services page there, you will find the button for learning more about that and how to register. I'm doing my most affordable webinar ever. This is $10. I'm confident that anyone who's drawn to this will be able to come and benefit from that. And I also work with people individually. I really find that there is the kind of sustained growth by doing some series of work together. So I've set up a few package options. Certainly, sometimes someone has a pressing specific need. Like I mentioned, I had someone just referred to me to do with this situation of losing quite a number of animals in a fire. And so I do the occasional onesies because I understand there's a place for that work, and that is important too. In my work with individuals, it may be in verbal form or more fully vibrational form of different energy-based modalities, in addition to the readings and types of clearing work that I offer. So I have greatly condensed my website because I found that trying to explain everything confuses people.
Right.
And so
yeah.
Even though I would say on there, you know, all you need is your intention, what you would like to get out of our work together. And then the individual components, I will, unless there's something you know, oh, I'm really drawn to this modality, you know, I will just connect with you and your energy and your intention and ask which method or combination of methods is going to be most helpful. But even though I would try to explain that on the website, almost 100% of the people who come to me would say, I know I want to work with you, but you do so many things, I don't know what I want to do. And,
right,
know,
exactly.
And I don't want people to feel confused. I want them to understand the whole point of this. You know, the essence of this is more important. I think eventually I'll be adding back a little more detail. So I just did a big shift in my website there.
That's good.
So I have those three things going, and in January I'm going to start. I'm working actually today on getting the webpage set up to connect to my website on the 90-day program, which is going to take each woman through the seven steps for navigating your life through your light and bringing together those tools that I've consistently found over the years are really the core of the breakthroughs process that I have helped facilitate with women. So that will soon be up. I think I have details to be announced right now, but by a week from now it will be up and running. And the week when I say that, so it'll be by the 16th of December.
One And if there's more you want to talk about, we can keep going as much as you want. But one more thing I always found it very interesting was when you wrote your books and your connection to the third Mary. Do you want to, would you mind talking a little bit about that connection at all?
Sure. So I would, you know, each of us, my understanding is that each of us has had more than one life experience by far. And that there are also beings that have played very big roles in shifts in society and individuals on our planet. And that there's a group of souls that have gathered together to help that being play that role very fully. And so some refer to this as carrying an aspect of, like, you know, you're like, how many people, how many different people could actually have been Joan of Arc, you know? Like, somebody's, but that's coming from our sort of concrete 3D understanding. So, you know, you may be carrying an aspect or even more than one aspect of somebody very well known.
And when you say an aspect, it's just like, it's like a little piece. There were several pieces around this being, and we were just several, like, observers or part of that, going through that with them. Would you define it?
I'd say, like, related parts. You know, you're not separate from it. It's all very collaborative. But there's, like, you might have an internal understanding of certain facets of that person's life, more so than some others, because of how you supported that
in another
experience.
In another time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you were, who were you back then? And what time period are we talking about, I wonder?
So, you know, biblical times, right, had some very big roles being played out at the same time in our human understanding of time. And Mary Magdalene had a mother who I've seen very little in print about her, but the little bit that I saw made a big impression on me when I read, I remember, Union about 20 more or more years ago. And I always knew something was there, but I didn't want to approach it. It just felt like too big, too much for me. And, you know, someone else reading the same book, like, might be paying very little attention to this character. But for me, the person, I felt a very strong connection. And, you know, eventually, with some prodding on a number of levels, as well as from a dear friend, I opened to that, and it just felt so emotional to me. But but of course, there's another side to that, and I more than most people should know that. But, you know, when you're feeling so much emotion, it can feel insurmountable, right? But when I allowed myself to experience it, then I rather quickly got to the next point, which was of beginning to receive her messages and her understandings. And she has worked behind the scenes as a spiritual adept for eons, and not only as the mother of Mary Magdalene, who, you know, my understanding is of her as partnered with Jeshua to help bring about certain shifts, which we are still in process with, and I feel coming to a real turning point with now. And so people are having a lot of awakenings related to those biblical times as part of this, and maybe getting a sense of, quote-unquote, who they might have been, but I would say more so where they feel connected where they may be carrying aspects where certainly certain being has particular wisdom for them and for them to bring that they may unconsciously be bringing through in their life already. So for me, that's Mary Magdalene's mother. And so one of the first books I published, and I do have my my books and my products. I did keep up a page for that on my website. Good. I didn't do away with everything. And actually, some of these materials will be not the Holy Family related part, but other materials will be included in the 90-day program as support material. But my connection with Mary Magdalene's mother led to my scribing 55 messages, you know, one a day from her to support our shift individually and as a whole.
And our shift.
Does that long answer your question?
It does, and I mean, you've been going to complete depth about it because people that haven't heard this before, but you know, we all. Many of us, not we all, but many of us believe that this is a great shift that's going on, a shift in consciousness. Some would call it the age of Aquarius, the dawning of the new age, the end of the old age, which, you know, 2012, the Mayans calendar ended for a reason. And it wasn't to mean the end of the earth, but the end of an old 26,000 year cycle of which the divine feminine stepped away. And if you can go back in history, even though our history doesn't record it, I think things might have been a little more difficult. Not saying that masculine energies are bad energies, but the absence of a balanced energy, neither masculine or feminine, is not what we truly are. And so when we step away from that, this is where we wanted to have this grand experiment, the way I look at it. I want to see what it's like to do this. Let's just do it. And of course, love, energy, divine feminine said, okay. And then so now what we're seeing now with all the turmoil is that some of this doesn't want to change, but it's going to. And it's part of us becoming balanced and stepping towards what they're calling the fifth dimension. And I don't even really know what that is. Do you, Roslyn? What exactly is that? Like a higher vibrational place? Is that going to be a place we leave here and go to? Or has it become what was going on here?
I would figure that there are different answers, you know, to that from different people. So when you hear that term used, you can't assume that the person using it means the same as someone else using it. But my sense of where we're headed is that we will be more vibrationally aware and in tune, that our spiritual self will be more fully, we'll understand more as a part of ourselves, how we perceive a human being, that it won't seem like a separate thing so much or something to figure out what we think about it. I think it will be more what we know about it.
So the separation that we have, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Separation, so really what we've talked about a lot too with several people, but you and I and others, is that Earth has become a place of separation. The third dimension is a place of duality. And when we say separation, it's separation from source, separation from what our higher self. And I say it's by design because we wanted to experience that, gee, this will be fun. Just wait till I can rediscover what I truly am. And then it's like, excuse me, I'm a little lost, and I keep doing the same thing, coming back again, coming back again. And so what we're heading towards is a different change from that. That's the best way I guess I can describe it.
I think that, yep, that makes a whole lot of sense, and I agree. Yes. And I think that a lot of things, you know, things will go much smoother, and the ups and downs are not going to be so dramatic if you were drawing it. You know, you wouldn't be going as far up and down with your pen on the page because a certain degree of balance would be the norm, and that the understanding of our interconnection, of our ultimate oneness, would be more of a given.
And I see it as, you know, I guess it could be just about anything, really. I keep an open mind to all possibilities, but I think we'd be unlimited, because I think that's what we are in our true form. And so we would start returning more to being unlimited. And because when the more light that fills us up, the more love, then I think we would have no limitations on our body. Wouldn't that be nice?
Can you imagine how much fun we would have, you know, that it literally could be play
all the time, like it was intended to be, in the beginning. And we kind of took a turn, which there's no good or bad. We just were playing a little too much, maybe a little rough. We were playing a little rough. And it's like we said, you know, and Mama Earth said, I don't like the rough play so much. I love you all, but I think I want to return back towards the origin. And this is where I see that the planet is going, out of choice. And we are given that opportunity to be a part of that. I just don't know. This is the part I struggle with a little bit, is that are there going to be two Earths? Because if the Earth, we've talked to Gaia before, and I don't remember quite the answer to this question, but I would assume there's an old Earth, so the 3D Earth, so that it gives people time to jump to that next place, or is it just going to disappear and boom, some people are going to make it and some aren't?
I think the some make it, some aren't is an old story that has come out of a more limited understanding compared to what quite a few have now. And that it isn't so black and white, in that there is love and compassion for all, no matter where they're at, and ultimately no one is lost.
Exactly.
And so I recall, you know, Gaia specifying that those souls who choose a more gradual timeline will have that opportunity. And so, kind of like you might see in a science class, you know, that sense of mitosis of the two, you know, the one becoming the two-celled, that's how she described this shift to us, and that eventually the two will become one again, that the Earth that is providing a place for souls to shift more gradually will be subsumed by the one that has already shifted fully into the 5D, as you're talking about.
That's kind of the way I'm seeing it now, too, is like there's going to be two remaining, a 3D remaining, because, you know, I just don't buy into that Source is going to destroy itself or not have compassion for itself, its own self, basically, extension of itself. And so it's going to allow those that still want to experience that. But eventually, many will leave here and go to the fifth dimension. And then if there still will be some that say, you know what, I don't want to do that. I still want to do duality. And they'll say, well, the universe is a very big place. And so, and there are multiverses and there are multi-dimensions. So if that's what you want to do, but sooner or later, I think we all hear the calling. And it's like, you know, I miss home. I really do. It was so nice. It was so nice there.
Yeah. And I think we all miss home.
Yeah.
And somehow our efforts to return to that sometimes are distorted, you know, through whatever, you know, leads to that in individual situations. You know, and also that the knowing of this shift and our oneness is really part of what compels me to do this work with women in particular, to really honor one's own spirit, to really get a more palpable sense of the amazingness that that is, and that that can foundation our life in a new way, and that each of us, male, female, or however you describe your gender, is carrying a very unique piece of the puzzle without which it would not exist in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And the more we can have everybody vibrating with their peace, the more peace, P-E-A-C-E, we have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, every time I experience somebody making a shift more into that truth of who they are, I'm just so thrilled, you know, for that person, for all of us. It's like, okay, another one crossed that barrier and is more here now, because mm-hmm. this can be an incredible place even if we were not going to this big of a vibrational shift that I sense we are. Mm-hmm. If we were going the slower route and we had people just getting a tenth more of their presence here, their full presence, what a gift that is to everybody.
I think we've been programmed to believe that we are less than this incredibly divine, unlimited beings that we are. And that mm-hmm. takes a while, especially like in women. The women have been, not saying that men haven't done this, children have experienced this, but for the last, let's say it's true, the last 26,000 years, well, women, they kind of turned on them and treated them less than equal. And what we're seeing is just a return back to that balance, and mm-hmm. women truly embracing who they are without worrying about what others think or say. And the same for men. If men feel that way, they shouldn't feel that way at all. And so that's where we're going, I think. And we're not going to move through that doorway, I really believe, until we find that balance. And the world, and some mm-hmm. people say, well, this is going to take a million years. How the heck are you going to get 7 billion people? And I would say the answer to that is the more light that arrives to this planet, the more people hold space of love. It's like mm-hmm. one day, so many people are going to wake up and go, wow, I can't believe I thought this way for all these years, because so much light is going to be here. It's going to hit them like a wonderful door opening, and they're going to wake up and go, this is the truth. And it won't have to take 7 billion years for 7 billion people. It could happen tomorrow. Or it could happen a year from now, or 100 years. I don't know. And time doesn't really matter.
Well, I received a vision back before that was in any way typical for me, that explained to me how at some point it would feel to me like the walls were falling in, you know, in the world. But that what they were actually doing is falling out to make room for the new. Yep. And that I would live to see all of my highest hopes and dreams come true in this lifetime.
Well, lucky you. My vision was, I was walking down the street, and an anvil, a guy happened to be moving an anvil out a window about three stories up, and no, I think so, a lot of us, you know, we've all signed up for different journeys. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
So, you know, at the time that I got this, it deeply impressed me, you know, made a big impression on me, and it still does. And my first thought was, you know, I must be living a really long time.
Yeah, how's this going to happen?
And so the few palm readers that have seen my hand without fail have always said, wow, you have a really long life.
Really?
So I don't know the timing either. But okay. So I read something in Yes Magazine just the other day about a study that feels confident that from other, number of different situations, that if 25% of the people in a group or an area or whatever, like adopt a new behavior, whatever it is, that 25% is the tipping point.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because we don't really know what the number is. We've been told many different things, and they always say, well, when the collective reaches blah blah blah, and they use the monkey, what is it, the something monkey
The
thing?
hundredth monkey.
Yeah. And it's like, but that doesn't explain it. It's like, it sounds vaguish to me, but I don't worry about it like I used to. I wanted to know. I gotta know this stuff. Is it gonna make a
I think
difference?
there is, the vibrational that people we're not even talking to, their vibration is some influence on us. And if you've ever seen where someone's done muscle testing, to test just how strong the person's energy is overall at a certain moment, by, applying an even and not very forceful, but even pressure on, let's say, if their arm is straight out to the side. If they had that person do that after someone has said negative things at the spot where that person stands and where that person had just could not have known that, heard that, anything, that their arm goes right down. And that if positive things have been said, their arm stays strong. And they cannot, and same person, same arm, all of that. We have this impact that is not always conscious about what's gone on in a place and what's, so your thoughts, as we were saying before, have an impact. So, you have the example of behavior of people around you, yep, and what people say around you. And on top of that, you have this quote unquote invisible influence that's going on too.
Absolutely.
So I can totally see that we don't require a majority to make the shift.
No, because we already know it. It's already,
Yeah.
and there's a part of us that already knows it. It just hasn't quite sunk all the way down here to the bottom rung where I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out at the bottom rung, Rosalind, and I'm going,
I
what
mean,
the
yeah. Well, I mean, things look even crappier now, partly because complaints are being made louder than before because we have a different standard. There has been a certain amount of shift to where we're ultimately, cleaning out the closet. And one of my favorite analogies, because when you start cleaning out the closet, it looks a lot worse until you're done,
Right. And you can't have
whereas
that clean
before it was in the
closet.
closet.
And you can't have that clean closet until you go through it. So what we're seeing
Yeah.
now is all part of what's meant to be. I'm
Yeah.
convinced that that is, we're right on course where we need to be. And as horrible as we think things might be or could get, depending where you stand in your different beliefs, I just trust that we're on course to where we need to go, and we will get
Yep.
there. And if part of my plan, my journey was to go to the checkout line, to put it that way, I guess TJ is going to be checking out of the hotel. Really? I didn't know he was going to. That's part of the journey. Now, I don't believe that's where I'm at right now, but, and I think we also have the power, the ability to change that. People say, well, my life journey is this. And it's like, your life journey, in my opinion, is whatever you want. We have a plan, but we can also move away from that. We can create anything in any moment if we truly believe that. That's what I believe. So I'm not going to the checkout line for a little while here.
Yep, some refer to it as, amending or making a new contract.
And why
Which,
not? Why would we not be
yeah.
unlimited to have the people say, well, I got a soul contract, and at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, I'm supposed to get hit by a train. Well, it's like, but you don't have to follow that. that was meant to teach you something or to pay back somebody or whatever the case may be. And even when people get sick, it doesn't necessarily have to be the end of their life. But unless they truly want to change that and know that within, then no matter what you do, you know, people, I mean, I know you've worked with energy healing and things like that, but it really it's an individual choice. And we can always have the freedom to change it. And we can have the freedom to also move towards love and creating a world that will be filled with that. And you can say, I don't want to do that. And that's fine. I mean, everybody's allowed their choice. But like it or not, Gaia is going bye-bye.
She is ascending. She is ascending. And we can go with that or resist that and continue with an old version. Yep. And I want to mention, too, you know, any time that I have, acted as the mouthpiece for angels, they always emphasize, they really want people to understand that we are no less than them at all. They are not greater than us, that they walk by our sides, that they honor the immensity of our spirits and the courage it takes to have the three-dimensional experience, and that they really are aspects of us.
And it's like that with anything. There are many different beings that are working with us right now. We've channeled some of those, and with other people I've done that. And people sometimes want to put these beings on a pedestal, and it's like they're no different than you. They just might have a little clearer view because they're a little closer. It's like they're standing a little higher up on a ladder. But they know that you are basically a total equal, because we all are. We're all from Source. Nobody is any... We're all these incredible, in my opinion, unlimited, divine, pure love, joyful beings. And as we climb down that ladder, we kind of forget a little bit about that. Not all of us. Some maybe hold on to that more. But there's that separation from what we are. And this is what this is all about. This journey, in my opinion, is that each of us, not all of us, I guess everybody's got their own journey, but many of us see this and are contributing to either holding the space or having discussions like we're just by talking to you, Rosalind, you lift my vibration so much. It's like, whoa. And so because you have that energy about you. And I think together we can enhance that energy. And I feel just a higher vibration. Really good. And I felt good before I called you, but I feel even better now.
Me too.
And she nearly forgot about me today, but
we put it all out here. Yeah, I don't know where my mind was. I was telling TJ, it's like, wow, I was thinking, it's sunny out. I should put my boots on and take a little walk. And the phone rang. I see it says Escanaba. I'm like, right. Where did my mind go?
And then, you know, when I called her, I called her three times, and she refused to talk to me twice until I'm just kidding. There's something wrong with her phone, and I couldn't hear her. She could hear me, and I thought, well, maybe it's my phone, because my system at the radio station, sometimes it messes up a little bit. But it turns out it was on her end. So the universe was like saying, give it a few minutes. Okay, now you're ready. Third time was a charm.
Yep. You know, it's that reminder, like, sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, if it was meant to be, like, it wouldn't take any effort on my part. Nah, you know, it's not that things need to be all effort, but it's okay to have some tenacity, you know, and know, oh, this is a priority for me, so I'm going to stick with it and open to what will help this work. And sometimes it requires a pause, and sometimes requires a different handset, as in this case.
Well, I also find some of the most difficult things that I've had to do, not that this was in comparison to that, Rosalind, but sometimes I find often the things that make me work a little harder have the biggest rewards. It's almost like the universe is saying, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? I'm going to say, will you stop that? And then it's like, okay, you're right. And then here's a good example. Back in 2007, when my friend was ill with cancer, and I went to this Native American gathering, the same place you went with me and Joy. Remember that place in Rapid River?
Yes.
Behind there, they had a giant teepee. And, you know, I debated about going to this because I had asked my friend to go and he was sick. And and then they told me when I got there, and they're very enlightened, this group of people. And they said, for those of you that stay to the very end, there's always a greater reward. Or I don't know if I call it reward, but something greater from it. And, you know, and it started at like 7 o'clock at night, and it didn't end till 1 a.m. And I get up early, so it's hard for me to stay up, you know, stay up late like that. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to stay here till the very end. And it was such a reward. I don't want to go into greater detail at this point because there were just things that happened out of it. But that's what I'm talking about. It's that I was determined to get a hold of Rosalind, even if she didn't want to talk to me today.
And I'm grateful because I was trying the station number back and getting the recording and going, oh, this might not be easy for me to get through to TJ this way.
And now that we've had this conversation and we've gone off in other directions, I think, wow, this is not what I intended, but what a wonderful gift it has been to talk to you and to have you share things that I didn't even know you were going to share, to be honest with you, just go down different courses. So is there anything else you want to say at this point? Remind people again about the webinar coming up?
Sure. So amplifying your energy intelligence, that is to illuminate your power and your potential through the wisdom of your 9 main chakras. This webinar, live version, will be Wednesday, December 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and also Saturday afternoon, January 2nd, 2020. This is the first time I'm saying 2021. right now, you know, until the December 16th webinar is complete, you know, just that information will be up, and then it will switch to the other date. And I would love to have you join me in the free program. You'll find really wonderful group of souls there, very positive, and you will have support for staying in that high vibration. And each live that I do Wednesdays at noon Eastern, I take a different angle on living your true spirit. And then in the 90-day program that's coming up will be, you know, a full set of tools to support you in that. You can check out my website also for the information on the different books that have come through me as part of the way I support your spirit in print and in color. I have a background in visual art, so I get the pleasure of mixing that in to support.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen
and
your
I
work.
Just,
it's really
yep,
good.
And I do. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
what were you going to say?
I said today? I've seen your work. It's really good.
Thank you. Thank you. I do free consultations with people, you know, so you can, I always love connecting with new people, or if we have met before, if you just want to find out more and kind of explore, I really like to see if it's a good match for both of us to work together so that you can really get the most out of your choice. So I have a no strings kind of exploration call that you can do, and there is info on how to connect with that on my website also.
Well, thank you so much, Rosalind, for finally answering the phone and for kidding again. Just gotta poke you a little bit here and there just for the fun of it.
You're the world's loveliest poker.
I just love your laugh. You know, your laugh is, you know, you can tell an old soul, they say, when a person just laughs from their gut, they don't care, you know? And that's Rosalind's laugh. It's infectious. So thank you so much for being on with me, Rosalind. And
thank you, TJ.
Love and joy to you.
Same to you. It's always great to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I just want to send my love and appreciation for each person that's listening, that you're bringing your light to the planet in your way, and that I'm holding a place for each of us to continue moving forward in our purpose being here.